Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
Hey, welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. We're a roundtable discussion of fantasy, sci-fi, horror, but we're doing staff picks this month.
Oh.
Since when do we do such a formal introduction?
It's for new listeners.
It's just for this month, right?
Okay, fine.
No, or is it going to be from now on?
I mean, it's as I...
I just felt like, you know, world. My dad was here hosting the show.
You know, I got that feeling too. I thought your dad. Your dad was introducing the show too. I don't know why Freddie did it that way.
I'm going to turn this podcast around. we're going home, and then I am going to lay into you. I'm going to lay into you with a belt.
Whoa!
Oh no, not the belt! Oh no, look what we did.
No, so anyway. It's believe it or not, we do have new people check in the show out sometimes. So it's for those people.
I don't believe it.
So this is the foursome that does it.
Prove it.
If you're a new listener, send your briefs to Kelly's briefs. Now Kelly's briefs. Your briefs. Now his briefs. P.O. Box.
Briefs.com.
Briefs. Yeah. So, Russian Roulette this week is Kelly. He watched a film called The Apology.
Mm-hmm.
And our main attraction is Elise's pick.
Yeah.
Our picker's pick.
Our picker.
Elise is our picker.
Elise, who subscribes to our mailing list.
Yeah, she does. Cool
like and that. It was a legitimate Faithfully. Random number drawing, you guys. I do it every time.
Yep.
She wondered when she's going to get picked, too, because mm-hmm. It was like all this time. She's like, WTF, bro.
Bro?
Yeah.
I was like, hey man, it's a random thing. I don't know.
It's just the randomness of the universe, man.
I love the idea that Elise comes out, hey, WTF, bro.
I bet you'd be surprised at how close to reality that is, actually.
No, it doesn't sound that far outside the realm.
Yeah. And Elise picked Top Secret! !
Yay!
So yes. Much fun. Great pick, Elise.
So watch us or listen to us giggle over that later.
If you want
a great pick,
a chance to pick a main attraction, just subscribe to our mailing list at notlp.com. Look for Dracula on a stamp.
Just do it.
And then randomly, once per podcast series, we pick a random person from that list to choose a movie.
It's like you get to be a werewolf. Once per lunar cycle.
Once per cycle. When you're bitten by an NOTLP mailing list subscriber, you become an NOTLP mailing list subscriber yourself.
Whoa.
See? Whoa. Horror. It all comes back.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard about the, in the rural Australia, they lost a little tiny little thingamahooser that is super fucking full of radiation and would kill you.
Like a rod?
It's real tiny, though. It's measured in centimeters.
Tiny rod?
And they lost it along like this 1,400 kilometer route or whatever, and they're trying to find it.
Mm. And how much?
But think about what lives in the Australian, like, outback in the rural areas of Australia. What lives there?
So was this just like on the back of a radiation truck and it wasn't tied down? And
it just
fell off.
But Andy, when I tell you how
was it in like a case or anything?
If you can read it, the radioactive bitch fell off.
They just had it on top of the truck.
Yeah, it's just free range radiation.
They had a bungee cord around it, but like just kind of around it.
Just like, I mean, honestly, like a little piece of scotch tape on the dashboard would have been fine. But like the scariest beasts on the planet live.
Are you worried about men becoming irradiated?
And now they're going to get irradiated.
They're going to have even bigger spiders.
That just means they'll probably die a horrible, painful death.
A horrid, mutated outback spider thing.
Way to bring this down. Way to bring this down to reality, Kelly.
Or this is how we get Godzilla.
I like the idea of big spiders.
Line it and be like, what if it becomes a beef substitute, these big spiders that are treated with radiation? We finally have like something that is akin to like a steak. Yeah, but more earth friendly because there's thousands of babies just here in this room with us.
Oh, God.
Me and Freddie are shirtless.
Yeah.
We are shirtless.
You've always got your titties out.
I took mine off so Amy could slather me in Ben Gay because I'm hurting.
I just got warm.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Andy, you're still wearing your Burrow jersey.
Are
you
walk
of shaming today? Like you went home in your walk of shame.
I'm sticking it to the NFL. Like you say, you can take the game away from us all you want, but I'm still going to be a proud Bengals fan.
And no shame, man. That was a great season. That game we played right up to the last second. Exciting. We hung right in. I think for a sports fan, it was a good season.
Still very proud, but I'm just showing the NFL you can't. We're going to be fans no matter what you do to us.
He's going
to
wear that.
Andy thinks the NFL has it out for the Bengals.
It does. They do. You're going to tell me that they're going to pass up a Kelce Bowl?
Fucking traitors.
I guess.
Yes, the Bengals, they lost, but they fought. They fought really hard.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Fought against the Chiefs.
Refereeing.
And the refs.
Yeah. But that's all right. I'm so proud of my boys.
You know who else fought hard this weekend? The people who are involved with the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match on WWE Royal Rumble.
All Freddie wants to talk about is the fact that we watch Royal Rumble.
I have not watched the wrestling Royal Rumble in so long, like really watched it.
So this pitch, they literally wrestle in the dark?
I was hoping at first that it would be
they
pitch
wrestle
black
in Mountain Dew Pitch Black. Like they get a big tub of it.
Oh, it's like a Foxy Boxing, but like Mountain Dew instead.
It's like a whole big tank of it. So they're very slow. It's hard to wrestle in, really.
It's more like Global. You ever do that? You know what I'm talking about, where everything is black lights and glow in the dark stuff, but they have like makeup. Like the presentation, the entertainment factor of this particular night of wrestling was way off the charts.
Like Drag Race could never.
Right. It was
the
like,
makeup, the costumes, the hair.
Yeah. It was
the pageantry.
The storylines.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really fun. And I think we're going to watch WrestleMania now. So I can thank.
It streams on Peacock. You don't have to pay extra if you already have Peacock.
Our friends who I'm in a group chat with our friends, Dave, Jason, and Justin, and they watch wrestling religiously. They really know wrestling. I don't know shit about wrestling.
I don't know anything.
I was Hulk Hogan. Those were the days I watched Rowdy Piper, who was my guy.
Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Macho Man. That's the 80s era.
But this new, they finally, I think they have struck on something here.
We had fun.
Something pretty special.
You think wrestling finally figured it out?
I think they
figured out how to get people in the seats.
They figured
you
me
lost
out.
Me at Logan. You lost me at Logan Paul when you said he's a wrestler.
I was not pleased to see that dipshit.
I don't really know much about Logan Paul other than he's an asshole. But I will tell you that he really did, as far as his performance.
Oh, Freddie Morris.
He did a really awesome.
Freddie's about to go
stunt
on record as being a fan of Logan Paul. This is where this is turning into.
I'm a hardcore Logan Paul.
Amy, watch out for money. Freddie's going to go hard in a crypto now.
I'm going to kill myself.
I understand he's a real nightmare of a person. But
yes, he did wonderfully. He did a good job. It was fine.
He sacrificed his body hard.
They sacrificed their bodies.
Yeah.
So was there anybody they recognized from the era that you watched?
No.
Even from the late 2000s?
I watched early 2000s, and Edge was there, and Edge, I do remember him.
Yeah.
But that's all I can give you.
That's when Amy.
God, he must
Amy
be 50
then,
now.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Back probably. When you two were wrestlers,
Booker T.
Booker T. has been around a long time. Actually,
he was in the Rumble.
He's 57 years old.
Yeah.
Wow, good for him. Is The Undertaker still around?
Not really. So. I mean, Braun Strowman.
He got undertook.
and
they took him under.
Brock Lesnar, who I knew those guys because of their incredible feats of strength.
And
they're still around. And then there is this whole thing called the Bloodline that
got way too you know silly. The storylines.
It was fun. It was so dumb. This Bloodline shit with Roman Reigns and you know his underlings.
You know how they try real hard and like you're watching a pornography movie,
mm-hmm.
and then they have to act. You're like, don't do that.
Well, it doesn't really happen to me anymore, but I know of what you
if you're
speak,
watching
yeah.
a produced,
yeah,
mainstream. What do I mean? Professional pornography film.
So how is the acting, Amy? Has it improved?
I'd say it's. I think it's worse than what I remember from the early 2000s, but that was The Rock and fucking Mankind and all this shit. Yeah. Like those dudes are for real. I don't know. I thought it was a little silly willy.
I mean, we didn't get a lot of like talking heads or like smack talk.
It was
going
mostly just dudes pretending to hit each other.
And then the acting was usually like,
but the ladies did a rumble.
Yeah.
There was a ladies' Royal Rumble.
A lady Rumble?
That is was this where,
okay, the Royal Rumble, that's where everybody's in the ring at once, right? They toss each other out.
Yeah. So it's basically...
I am a true American. I hold the right of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kurt Angle. And Chris Benoit, famous family killer.
Yeah. Famous family killer's chicken.
I watched
and
him.
Famous maker of those balls too,
Benoit balls.
But Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh yeah, Stone Cold was my era as well.
Yeah.
Oh, fun fact! I saw Chris Jericho at Disney World one time.
Yeah, he was at Horror Hound too.
Yeah.
Disney World.
Yeah, saw him in the wild. Yeah. He had one of those VIP tour guides with him, and he got to the front of the line at Slinky Dog. And it was just two people too. Like he spent a lot of money for just two people.
Who was the other person? Could you tell?
It was a lady.
Oh yeah,
Christine Jericho.
So yeah, we watched some wrestling.
Yeah, it was fun.
So when is the next event? Do you know?
Is it WrestleMania? I mean, I guess they have Raw and all that stuff in between. I don't understand.
That's a lot to keep. I don't know what's going to happen with our fandom. We just had a good time with the
Rumble. I feel like it's quarterly, right? The quarterly events.
Yeah, maybe.
But the thing I was going to say is like, part of what was hilarious was the number of different matches as they were showing. Do you remember in basketball where they had like ESPN Ocho and it was all the crazy sports? Like they were like, he's the Money in the Bag champion. And then they're like, they had like five or six new events in there as they were cut into like different event names. And you're just like, it just felt like mini games from like Mario Party or something.
Do they still have belts?
Yes.
Like champions.
They still do the belts.
You still get a belt.
And they had a belt. Championship match that was after the Rumble that had a surprise ending.
You get a belt.
So they're still doing that stuff. That dramatic.
Can I tell you that I spaced out for a second?
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, like, thought you were talking about UFC. Like, I went from wrestling to UFC because you said Brock Lesnar, who went into the UFC for a while.
Yeah.
And
was it he UFC first, or is it the other way around?
I think it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Is this the most masculine conversation we've ever had on this show?
Mm.
Oh, was he UFC or was he always just WWE? Like,
did you say sausages and WWE?
My balls are itchy.
You coming over with sausages?
We talk about football a lot. That's pretty masculine.
Right? You're right. But go birds.
Go birds.
Go birds.
That's the only thing I can say now. Go birds.
Also, I wanted to let everybody know that if Bret Michaels and his party gras tour comes to your town.
We're coming to your town.
Get free tickets like we did.
Get free tickets like we did.
Oh, have your ears recovered yet? Because you guys are complaining how you guys couldn't hear.
It felt like the loudest concert I'd ever been to.
Bret Michaels rocked your socks off. Yeah. That's how hard he
rocks.
Still.
Too hard. Like it was painful, the decibels. And I don't know why. You know how they say if it's too loud, you're too old, man. But Bret Michaels is way older than I am. And he didn't seem upset.
He just probably had earplugs in.
Oh. It was too loud, Hard Rock Casino, Cincinnati.
It was like feedbacky, and I think it sounded like they blew a monitor at some point too. Like there was a buzz, but like
he played all the hits.
But it was fun. Like, I mean, as much as it hurt to have my ears destroyed, like it was a good time. But it's also like a real kind of gross.
It's a gross vibe.
It's a gross vibe, kind of. But I mean, it is. It's like it's on brand for him, though. So it's not even.
We've all seen Rock of Love.
Yeah, but there's all these moments of him on these screens, in front of American flags and with soldiers and stuff, like playing in the background. And
what was the thing he's saying, chanting in the last video that you had sent?
Oh gosh!
He was like, "We're gonna get it now. We're gonna get it now."
Rapping. He was rapping.
Right, that's what I was. A couple times.
Yeah,
that's what I was. You're referring to.
Yeah, he rapped.
He rapped, and then he said,
"Did you hear that, everybody?
We're only hits from here on out." And then he played "Sweet Home Alabama" and "Nothing But a Good Time," and it was over.
I mean, those are hits.
Two songs.
Yeah. Well, that was hits, again. But you heard rapped. And I want you to think about it.
Yeah,
listeners.
Brett Michaels.
God, he's triple threat. He is.
He's a ridiculous man. I can't help it, and you can feel any way you want to about me saying that. But he had a great drummer.
Oh, Proud Mary. She was Amy made a face.
I thought I heard something. Keep going. Something?
She was a big lady with real long hair and a big gap between her teeth, and she had sweat coming off of her in rivers. Cause she was just fucking killing it. She's
pounding on those.
She was drums. So cool. She was so fucking cool that it made up for Brett Michaels in front of all those flags in those videos.
He's so weird.
Is he going for like a Kid Rock type thing? Being
no, he's definitely not that all bad.
Patriotic and stuff.
No, he's a lot more.
I think it's just easy to yes. You know.
He's just like he's so bland. He's so deeply bland.
It was a very safe. Banter with the audience, like no politics, bullshit, no BS. And you're like, well, that just tells me that you're conservative when you say no political BS, and then you prance around in front of the American flag with pictures of soldiers and stuff. And then, like, he was the crowd work and the level of like, but it felt it did feel sincere.
He was buttering us. He was love bombing us, Andy. He was love bombing us.
Yeah, he was love bombing Cincinnati, but like he was specific in a way where you kind of were like, okay, I'll let you do it. But frankly, and this is ironic coming from me at this point, but too much talking.
It is ironic coming from you.
Yeah, I don't want to just hear music.
So he doesn't need all that. He doesn't need all that protest nonsense.
What was he saying that was too much?
No, he was just repeating himself a lot.
He just wouldn't stop.
He's an old man.
He introduced his bandmates over and over again.
Like over and over and over.
He's an old man. He forgot that he had done it.
He forgot. It was the first stop in the tour. So it's possible he maybe did forget and just redid parts he had already done.
Who the hell knows?
Because I could do that. I could
see, like an hour and 20 minutes.
He's probably on a little bit of an autopilot.
Yeah. He was so sweet, though.
He's sweet.
He seemed like a real sweetheart.
He's just bland. Sweetly bland and dumb.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Whatever.
Enjoyed the show.
Brett Michaels, I'm sorry, but I had a great time. I really did. I danced like an idiot. I didn't care.
Did he have like a merch where he's like sold Brett Michaels branded bandanas?
Yes.
Yeah.
There were people there dressed like him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, of course there were.
You should have told me. Beads. I would have told you to get me one.
Oh, really? I should have known.
I love ironic purchases.
When he comes back through, you'll go to a show. Get you one legit, like get him to sign it.
Yeah, and then I'll just get the merch and just leave. Like, thanks, I got what I needed.
It sounds like I didn't mean to shit on I actually had a good time. I didn't mean any of that to come off.
We are
so shitting on.
Yeah, it.
I can't believe you guys would shit on Brett Michaels like that.
You mean the winner of The Apprentice?
Did he win The Apprentice?
Yeah,
I'm shocked and a little disappointed, honestly. I'm not mad at you, but come on.
I need to figure it out.
Come on.
You don't want nothing but a good time.
He did Unskinny Bop, and that's really all I wanted.
Yeah, Unskinny Bop was killer. Except he entered it with a big new rap number that didn't need. Or maybe it did. But they had these like pyrotechnics on stage, but they just shot out,
it was
like,
just smoke.
Smoke. And And like, I'm like, oh, this rap is terrible. But then he punctuated a phrase with one of those going off. I was like, all's forgiven. I'm a sucker for cheap spectacle.
Yeah, me
too. Did he do the stereotypical white rap? Like, my name is Brett and I'm here to say.
No.
He went for it. That's so disappointing.
Yeah. He really went for it.
Have we mentioned Patreon?
We have
Patreon.com/NOTLP for all of our extra stuff that we put up there for your money.
Yeah, you got goods coming. Oh, I had the old sticker. I had the old template. That's the word I was searching my brains for. I had the old sticker template up right before the shoe so I could port the new design over into that and scootily-doo it all
so
up.
So cool.
The nude design.
So cool. The nude design.
And that's the merch that you get as part of our rewards program at Patreon. Hmm.
So
there, bitch. So there.
Woo. And we just released Origins from back in 2011 about Scream 2 as well.
Yeah, we did. There.
Scream 2 as well.
Andy, I think you're about to say something.
No, I was going to say it was called Screw.
Screw?
Scream.
Scream 2. Scream I just two. Got it. It took me a minute. Screw.
Screw.
Yeah.
I want to know what your insides look like.
Are we ready to move this bad boy along?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Of Sally's disappearance.
Why do they call it an anniversary? Like it's something to celebrate.
After all this time, what do you need to help you feel whole again?
I could never feel whole again.
And what would you do if you found out who it was?
I'm gonna call the police. Obviously.
Call the police? Well, you wouldn't want to tie him up?
Don't drag me into that.
If it's not revenge, what would you want?
Do you want to feel whole again?
The apology. Les apologies. I don't know how you say that in that language.
Okay.
You're like, what language is that, Kelly? I'm like, whichever one it sounded like to you, because that wasn't a real one that I was doing. Okay. So this wasn't bad.
It looked pretty good. Good cast.
This is a good cast. That's really what Carrie, like, all right.
Okay.
This is a pretty good movie. You got your Anna Gunn, Skylar White from Breaking Brad. I'm sorry, Breaking of the Bad. And you have Janine Garofalo as a lady that's also in the movie. She's good. And then you have a fellow who seemed familiar to me, but who I don't recognize by name.
Okay.
But he was pretty good.
All right.
And those are your three people that are in this movie. And it's very much like a play in its execution. The set is really cool. It's this really interesting house, lots of rooms and dark wood. Pretty good house porn. I feel like a lot of these movies that we're getting now are actually like really, they are starting to look the same where it's like these very, and I do like this. I like the style. So it's easy to get me with this a little bit stylistically, but now they're all starting to look the same where it's all these very symmetrical Kubricky shots and these like immaculate, like house porn houses.
I know you're talking about.
kind of trying to wring some horror out of a juxtaposition of this beautiful, you'd understand, you, that old chestnut. And it is an old chestnut. This story is an old chestnut. It's more or less a Lifetime movie, but with a good cast and treated seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it like that, it's very much a true crime kind of thing. There are no surprises. Well, let me put it this way. I wasn't surprised by anything, but that's okay. That is okay.
I feel like when the description said something about like this woman's daughter is missing, 20 years have gone by, and then an estranged brother-in-law comes back, and like it seems like there's a connection between the brother-in-law and the disappearance of the kid. I mean, that seems implied. Yeah.
I mean, in the trailer, I mean, there's no surprises.
Yeah.
If you're thinking a thing, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
And that is okay.
It ends fairly satisfyingly for what it is. It is brief, but it's not gonna, I don't know, it's not gonna blow anybody's genitals into the earth. But it is. It was pretty good.
You included everybody by genitals. You didn't say just blow your balls off or anything.
It was very inclusive, Kelly.
Dunk your dick in the dirt is his usual. Yeah. So in this case, he's like, well, let me expand it. He's growing. He's a grower, not a shower.
Yeah. Is this a
for sure
a ghosty movie?
No. This is not a horror. This horror is so like horror. If you think of your everyday episode of a true crime show as horror, then I guess this is like horror.
Okay.
This is a very. It's not like, I mean, it's good. I'm not trying to say it's not, there are powerful moments. Well, powerful. Let me dial that back. There are some strong moments.
Yeah. As a thriller, it doesn't even categorize itself as a horror film. It says just thriller, straight thriller.
No, it is a Shudder exclusive.
Stop putting them on Shudder. Cause then I get confused.
Shudder is now horror and thrillers. So well, these, then they're kind
then,
of,
then so is straight to video Russian roulette.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it was good. I mean, it was pretty good. So I think some people will get some enjoyment out of this. It does look really good. The performance is really strong. Jeanine Garofalo, really great. In that she has a very brief role. It's really Anna Gunn's movie. And she's acting. She's acting pretty hard. And, I came away like, yeah, all right. Which is better than the last one, I think, where I was like boo. This one's like okay
is way better than boo.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree.
Agreed.
The apology,
it doesn't need to apologize for anything.
Apology.
All right.
Well,
you're so excited, but yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah, like whatever.
I mean, I'm not excited about it, as you can tell, but it was fine for sure.
Sometimes that's all you can say about something, man.
And that is okay.
No, it was.
It's aggressively fine.
That should be in the Bible. And he looked upon it, saw that it was okay, and he said, yeah.
I had to see that blurb on the poster. Yep. Yep. Kelly Kombrick.
It has nothing like to apologize for.
Like, how would you describe this movie? It was.
You know.
Yeah.
All right.
I think
well,
I get it.
That was that. Next week, one of us that isn't Kelly will be watching The Lair. A Neil Marshall joint.
This looks cool.
When Royal Air Force pilot Lieutenant Kate Sinclair is shot down over Afghanistan, she finds refuge in an abandoned underground bunker where deadly man-made biological weapons, half human, half alien, are awakened.
I didn't know this was Neil Marshall. I'm a little. My interest is slightly more peaked.
Are you peaked?
I'm peaked.
Yeah.
Pequod.
Well, it looks like I'm watching it.
Oh, my God.
Yep. It's me.
What an exciting time.
Wow.
To be Freddy.
Woo, woo.
It's because it was your birthday, and this seems like right up your alley.
A movie I enjoy.
I might watch this. Movie. I don't know. We might watch this, man.
Yeah. If you watch it, too, we can both talk about it if you feel like it.
Hey, man. Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
No promises.
Well, what if he watches it and doesn't talk about it? It's like, I'm just going to.
Like, I watched it. I did.
I abstain.
All right.
Just mark me present.
We're going to get into it now, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all.
It's time for some skeet surfing.
Skeet surfing.
Skeet, skeet, skeet. A wop bam bam a lop bam boom to the fruity. Oh, Rudy. To the fruity. Oh, Rudy. To the fruity. Oh, Rudy. A wop bam a lop bam a lop bam boom. Got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. Got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do.
Look, I'm not the first guy who fell in love with a girl he met in a restaurant who then turned out to be the daughter of a kidnapped scientist, only to lose her to a childhood lover who she'd last seen on a deserted island and who turned out 15 years later to be the leader of the French underground.
I know, it all sounds like some bad movie.
Got a girl named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. Got a girl named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She rocked me to the east, she rocked me to the west, but she's the girl that I love best. So to the fruity, oh Rudy. 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 A wop bop a loo bam a lop bam boom.
What a delight. What a delight.
Yeah.
Elise.
Good job, Elise.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for picking this movie. Honestly, because it's exactly what I needed after the Bengals. I mean, I don't want to get too dramatic, but I was really depressed today.
Yeah, it helps laugh.
And I watched the movie today, and it just brightened my day. So
well, I'll let her know that. And also, she said, you know, she chose this because she watched a lot as a kid, and it's, you know, cracked her up. Once you watch a shit ton of,
I completely missed it. I've never seen it till now.
I've never seen it. I knew of it. My friend told me I felt partially like I'd seen it because a friend of mine all through loved this movie when we were kids, when this was, I guess, on cable all the time. But I still kind of missed it. So this was this dovetailed nicely with some of the other, some of the stuff we did for, Parody Month, as well as just some of the choices from this previous staff picks.
So Kelly, were you already a fan of the Zucker Brothers and Jim Abrams stuff?
I know we've talked about this, and it seems like I say I don't like Airplane. I like Airplane and Zucker Brothers. I like that, but not as well as the more structured Mel Brooks. Or say like a Monty Python style, but this for me is perfect because it's Zucker Brothers, but it felt kind of in between those a little bit. It had a little bit more story and structure and character than say an Airplane, for instance. So this was a real sweet spot for me because I do love zany. I love zany.
It's fully zany. I have never seen any of the Elvis movies that I am assuming it's parodying.
Yeah, it's parodying those in like Casablanca and those 40s.
But. Yeah, and like war movies and stuff. I like how it was like it mixed so many genres and times. Yeah. Like you had Nazis combined with like East German stuff and all the other like just war movies and even like from references from the 50s and 60s and even 80s. So it was, I love how like it was timeless.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what else is great about this movie is, and it's true of Airplane too, but this movie in particular does a lot of these things where it's just kind of the director and cast showing off how complex a gag they can pull off. Like
the
dance sequence where they're doing holding that entire conversation and still doing this really complicated choreographed dance number. Where a lot of it is clearly like ADR, but at the same time, like the mouths match close enough that you know that they were hitting the beats just right.
Yeah.
And everything. And it was funny, and it wasn't, it didn't feel forced at any point, that whole bit.
I feel like this movie should be better remembered. I also kept like, as I know he was a big star, but I kept saying like, why wasn't Val Kilmer a bigger star?
He's a beautiful man.
You know what? One, he was like, just really charming. He did all his own songs.
I couldn't take my eyes off of him.
He's great.
I finally got watching this movie last night why my mom was so into Val Kilmer after Willow.
I love Val Kilmer. And he's
like movie star. You look at him and it's like, it's so charming.
And he's charming. Like he seems like fun and nice. And like, you know, he's got a good charisma to him. Like I just, every time I'm just like, why wasn't he a bigger fucking star, man?
I don't know. That's a shame.
Why aren't we lamenting the things he's done and wishing we didn't know? I'm just kidding about that. I feel terrible. I got real choked up when I saw him in the Top Gun movie because I love me some Valley Kill.
Yeah, he's so great.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much comedy he's done.
Yeah.
Until I sat and thought about it last night because I was like, that's odd. You know, I was like, well, Amy MacGruber, that was great. And then I just started thinking more things. And I was like, okay, well, I'm a dummy.
See, Tom Cruise could never.
Real Genius? Never. Oh, my gosh. 80s classic, if you haven't.
I love Real Genius.
Real Genius. Mwah. Mwah.
The opening song.
William Atherton.
The opening song, the skeet surfing bit. I was like, how? How? Interesting to see this from the 80s. When did this come out? 84.
Right. 84. Yeah.
And like today where we have a mass shooting every other afternoon.
What's so funny that, so I'd never seen this movie, but that song was, I believe, on a Dr. Demento collection. And I totally knew the song. I was like, oh shit, I know this song.
And then I
was like, I'm pretty sure it's on Dr. Demento, but like I have never, you know, obviously seen the movie.
It's just a bunch of surfers getting their guns and skeet shooting.
And I was actually
on their surfboards. Yeah,
I was really impressed by the surf work.
Yeah.
They're surfing and shooting guns. I like to believe that they're actually shooting the things out of the air while on surfboards.
The clay pit.
I know that's like a movie trick, but like it was just cool to see surfers with guns.
I just really love
I just thought about America's obsession with guns and how they were parodying that then, maybe.
Well, that's the thing really, about Zucker, in particular, David Zucker is very conservative. In fact, he made a movie some years ago called An American Carol, which was a spoof of Michael Moore documentaries. And he's become kind of, he's very, very, very conservative. So like that whole setup of this, it does feel like what would be now
a
liberal commentary on gun control, that people would be reckless enough to go out on the beach and surf and shoot at the same time. Where now I think somebody who is in his camp of that thing would never make a bit like that just because they don't even want to remotely look like they're criticizing guns. But this is kind of a golden age for these guys because I think it's before their politics got too terribly much in the way of making a great joke out of it. Like the jokes were the most important thing. And the most the thing, it's funny because it's the most absurd goddamn thing.
Yeah, it's because they're not going after anything. They were going after the tropes and just movie making in general.
Yeah.
Did they do Hot Shots?
I love Hot Shots.
Yeah.
I love Hot Shots so much.
Awesome. I do. I love Hot Shots.
Well, he can be an old cranky right wing weirdo, but maybe I still love Jim these Abrams? Movies.
Who did Hot Shots? No.
It's funny that he's
the Zucker brothers did not do Hot Shots. Jim Abrams did it by himself.
Did he do part two?
So, but he is part of the team. They were a threesome.
Okay.
But it's just not the Zucker brothers specifically. It's Abrams.
So, okay. We could just do we just want to list our favorite gags? Like, I don't know how you guys want to do this.
Well, there's so many. I couldn't pick one. Like, maybe my favorite one was the guy picking up the fake dog poo. That's not fake dog poo. I like lowbrow stuff.
What about Peter Petey Cush?
Oh, Pete.
Oh yeah. with the sight gag.
I saw his name.
Yeah, I love the credits. Well, you bring him up, and I like it. I love all the sight gags in this movie.
So Val Kilmer and Michael Goff both in this movie. Both was Michael Goff still Alfred when Val Kilmer was Batman? I think he was.
Oh, I forgot he was Batman.
Huh, yeah,
that's right. He was.
If somebody feels like doing that kind of IMDb work, feel free. But I believe they both work together again.
Oh, reunion
on the Batman movie that Val Kilmer's in.
Andy, you were talking about that. I love that spy dialogue bit of where they're talking code. Do you know any good white basketball players?
Yeah.
The answer is there are no good white basketball players. I love they bring that back throughout the movie as like the way the resistance is communicating with each other. Cause I love that in spy movies, but the way they handle it is so funny. Like it's all about every time they do it, it's about sexuality in sports or race in sports or whatever it is. Like they managed to create a theme for those bits. That and Omar Sharif is fucking hilarious.
Oh my God. And this too, this is a PG rated movie, but there's so much like they get away with so many dirty implications. The most memorable scene for me, of course, is the cow costume scene, which I'd already had it explained to me many times over the course of my life by my friend who wanted me to watch this movie. You know, with the calf suckling on the penis.
I was like, is that the implication that new guy's his dick sticking out through the
yes,
bottom of the costume? That is 1,000,000%.
Well, and the purpose? part where
I don't know about on purpose, yeah. But then it is on purpose.
but I like the payoff when the bull fucks the guy in the back and you see him walking and
he walks funny.
Walks funny.
but that's a pretty dirty joke.
It is very dirty.
Not to mention a bunch the other one. The other big dirty joke in the movie.
Yeah.
The anal Which intruder.
The anal intruder.
Oh, the anal intruder. Oh my God. How could I forget that one? Yeah.
I love that setup for that.
He fucked himself to death.
Like you think that when his spy handler or his manager really is his manager as a singer and his character, Nick Rivers, right? He ends up in jail. And his manager comes and he's like, I've tried everything. I've talked to the embassy and all this stuff. And he's like, I can't bring my wife to orgasm. Like the lead up, you think he's talking about getting him released, but he can't get his wife released. And like, Hey-o. So he gives him the fucking anal intruder as a present. And then they bring it back.
It was like an infomercial set up or something. Yeah.
This one was a real sweet spot for me. This is probably my favorite of this group of filmmakers now that I've seen it.
How recently have you watched Airplane and Airplane 2?
I watched it with the kids in probably the last 10, 15 years.
I would almost say if you really enjoy Top Secret this time through, that while you're hot on that vibe, Airplane is a masterpiece of this same style of movie.
I've seen Airplane many.
Yeah, quit trying to force Airplane on
many times.
I think he knows.
No, well, I mean, you were saying it didn't connect with you. Airplane didn't.
I like Airplane. I do like Airplane.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't,
I misunderstood.
It is not, I don't like it as well as a Mel Brooks style.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
More character, less jokes.
Yeah.
But I do like it.
I gotcha.
And so Top Secret, which sort of bridges that somewhat, is a nice place for me to put my bottom and sit for a while.
Over Macho Grande?
Sounds nice. You know, there are certain scenes from movies that will guarantee to put a smile on my face if I'm feeling down. Like I think about Student Bodies and when that man stood up and slammed his chair into the back of the wall behind him.
That was so funny.
Fucking hilarious. And then I will think forever about that old man. So when Nick Rivers is dazzling the crowd at this nightclub, this old man band goes to town. They rock out.
Yeah.
And there's an old man.
They become the Brian Setzer Orchestra and they just lose their minds.
This old man with an upright bass laying on his back with his bass between his legs and he's playing with his feet.
It's adorable.
It's so cute. And I found a gift for it and my life is complete. And that will be the other scene I think of to cheer me up.
You know what that scene reminded me of was because the setup for that is he's not supposed to sing. It's a misunderstanding. It's really supposed to be this famous like opera singer. And it just took me right to Naked Gun.
Yeah, like there's so many Naked Gun jokes that repeat. Like it's
like
they're introducing the opera singer and he thinks it's him.
Or like the and there's a reference like there's a character named Black Chocolate Mousse.
Yeah,
he's a black freedom fighter and he's French. But in like Naked Gun, they're like, "Give me a white Russian or black Russian."
Yeah,
and the waiter's like just looks at the screen and shakes his head no.
Yeah,
so I think it's like a reference to making like going for the obvious joke, but they don't.
It's fun. It's fun. I love like shows like Angie Tribeca and Police Squad and all that for that reason. Like
this, I like Police Squad. I like Naked Gun.
Yeah, Naked Gun's pretty fucking great. I think we've done Naked Gun on here before.
We did two and a half.
33 and a third.
33 and a third.
Not as good as the first
part two is two and a half. I don't know. I get all of those mixed up.
It's so silly.
The smell of fear.
It is silly. It's like silly gooses. That's how they are.
Peter Cushing, it was so fun. I don't know that I've seen him do much comedy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really doing much comedy. The comedy was in his prosthetic.
It was doing him.
And being in reverse or backwards or played forward. You know what I mean?
They filmed this whole bit in reverse.
It seems like it
was. They Twin Peaked it.
Was it one take? I can't remember.
Yeah, it had to be because they never cut away, did they?
Well, that's not true. I think there was like a wide shot versus a closer. Oh, was there?
Oh, okay. I thought that.
Maybe. But maybe that
great
was
scene.
The camera moving in and out, like one camera. I can't remember. It was a fantastic scene.
It was. And it's interesting that like at no point, as great an actor as Peter Cushing is, he never delivers like a straight scene in this movie. It's literally just that moment.
It's just that little scene.
Which is great.
It was his last American film, I think.
All right.
Oh.
According to the trivia.
That was real creepy, like when they pull back and you see that his
eye
is really big. Well, they do that twice in this movie. They also do it with the phone. It's the first perspective where you think you're seeing the phone.
I love
in
it.
Foreground. And the sight gags where they're looking, they think they're looking through the binoculars. But the cows just step over the outline.
That was a great moment. I love showing
the binocular cutouts. It's like I love the sight gags like that, and I like how they're not afraid to go for the obvious jokes, like the statue of the pigeon that shits eventually.
Oh my god! I had a discussion with Amy about that.
On it, it was like on that. It, they peed
I like
it.
The absurdity of the flying people that shit on the pigeon statue, but the fact that the pigeon statue shits later.
They're the masters of
after
background.
Being like Yeah.
The background comedy is in, like I was saying to Amy when we were watching, I'm like, just think for a minute. You've got this scene written. Like in the scene itself, you're moving the story forward. You're like, but it's not, there aren't a lot of jokes in here. Let's just shoot it in the park. And I've thought about a giant pigeon statue that people perch on. It's such stoner shit. And like the
stuff,
like when the train is leaving the station and you see the guy running to catch the tree. And he jumps on the tree that's moving.
And the guy like does a double take too.
Yeah.
So even he knows that something's weird about it.
It's so much fun. I watch this movie every couple of years minimum. And the last time I had seen it before
or
we did
it for
the show, Or I'll Die. Yeah, it's in the prophecy. But when we were at camp together, we watched this. We were up at night watching some of us in Hocking Hills watching this and just laughing our asses off. And I just laugh my ass off again. Every time with this movie, both Airplane movies, the Hot Shot movies, I just laugh and laugh.
Val Kilmer was such, like, he was such a good dancer and he was an okay singer.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. He had it all.
He's a total package type.
I'm still mad. Why didn't he have a bigger career?
He had a pretty good career.
He had a good career, but
he had a good career. But I don't know why some of superstars went on to become superstars.
He's a superstar to me. I mean, like, he just kind
some
of...
Some people had these huge careers that I feel like he could have matched.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a Tom Hanks career or a Tom Cruise career or a... You know what I mean?
Right. I see what you're saying. Like, you feel like he belonged in the creme de la creme.
Picking
movies, never auditioning...
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
He should have had a Marvel movie.
What I wonder what he would have done if he had that kind of power.
he picked goofy stuff. The Saint, which is one of my absolute favoritest movies in the whole world. It is a goof fest for sure. I think maybe he had a little too much like jokester in him. He might have been too much of a comedic, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's a goofy dude. Even when he's trying to be like sexy, he comes across goofy. I think he's not afraid to be a goof.
I think you have like on one end Crispin Glover and like on the other end like Brad Pitt, and Val Kilmer just leans closer to Crispin Glover. You know? Yeah.
But with movie star looks.
But with
matinee idol looks.
Yeah.
You'd put him as quirky as a Crispin Glover?
I'm just saying he leans closer.
She's saying like if it's at the 5 point between, he's like
he's like, you get your damn hands off of her.
So who else was in this movie? It was pretty crazy. Well,
my favorite bit in this movie is Omar Sharif, by the way, when he gets crushed into the cube and turns up at the hotel later. Because he does a little, it's like the thing that made that scene fucking just perfect is she could have opened the door and he could have just fell in and that could have been the whole gag, but he stumbles into her room and he's all short in this fucking crushed car, and he does like in those old movies especially where someone has been shot in the stomach, it's a movement trope, like where the actor, the blocking is always the same. They stumble into the room, they do the spin, and then they fall into the person's arms or onto the floor. And he did that, but he had been crushed into this car cube. And it's those little touches, they recreate shit from all kinds of classic movies.
He's like still part of the car, like the car still honks.
Yeah.
And the wiper, the windshield wiper wipes his nose.
It still works.
Like, so it's kind of like he's become one with the car.
He plays it so straight. So good.
Kelly, you were correct, by the way. That was the dude that played Alfred that was in this movie.
Michael Goff. Woo!
Was then Val Kilmer's Alfred. I wonder if that was on purpose.
He's another Hammer guy.
They became friends or something.
Yeah,
that sounds sweet.
John Sharp was in this too, who did a bunch of like Amicus and Hammer stuff. Like he was in The Wicker Man. Ian McNeice, who did a ton of comedy and Doctor Who and all kinds of stuff. It's just crazy. The cast,
it's like half British, half.
Yeah, like they have a real deep character actor bench in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say like, as silly as this movie is, there is some impressive movie making in this, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the underwater fight scene that went on for like...
in the saloon?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I thought that was really impressive.
It was cool. That's a really good movie. I feel like this movie also, much like Val Kilmer, should be a bigger... Again, I know a lot of people, it's a cult sort of classic, but like I feel like this should be a more remembered as a Caddyshack-level classic.
Yeah, I feel like... directing that many people in a scene is very difficult. Like the that's like Amy was talking about, that scene where Val Kilmer is performing in front of the
those rocking old dudes.
Yeah, and you have like so many background characters and the choreographed dances they do.
Yeah,
I think it's just impressive movie making on top of like great script.
97 Agreed. Credited roles. So that's a pretty big cast.
Hoo-wee
is right. Ooh. So Val Kilmer's manager in the movie, he died, by the way, Billy Mitchell.
From The Anal Intruder?
Yeah, in real life he died too. He was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and I think he was in one of the Star Wars. He was in Haunted Honeymoon, one of the Star Wars movies, one of the Death Wish movies.
Here's my question about The Anal Intruder. I feel like I've heard that referenced as a joke throughout my life. Mm-hmm. Is this where it comes from?
Yeah.
Is this movie?
Probably.
Oh, wasn't like a real thing.
Have you been hearing that a lot in your life?
No, this wasn't the first time I had heard Anal Intruder.
Yeah,
probably.
That's funny.
Okay. I just love how the actor played it. He like he was taking out the parts and he looked so like looked gleeful excited. And happy.
Yeah. He was psyched.
Yeah,
top secret. I don't know what else we could say. Secret. I think we just fucking loved it and giggled.
Don't keep it a secret. Tell people about it.
Off.
One of those soldiers was Mac McDonald from Red Dwarf, the American captain.
Oh,
of the
captain?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny. He turns up in stuff sometimes. Always surprises me.
He does.
That's just fun. Yeah. God, I could watch it again.
This was a really good staff picks month. I think we fucking nailed it. Like, listen, not everybody loved everything, but I think that we had a nice
It was a very nice light month. Nothing heavy or anything.
Yeah. Do you think we can judge our mental health through every year, what we choose? Like, kind of like the vibe of what we choose is where we're at emotionally or as a society?
Damn, so our show is a gauge.
Yeah.
Of society.
It's like a, it's an indicator. They probably use it when calculating inflation rates. But anyway.
We're like the alert level for terrorism.
Yes. It's how we do in January. The NOTLP index. Anyway, what's our next month? What are we doing for Feb?
What do we decide to call it? Is it big cats? Is it lions and tigers and bears? Is it, what is it?
I don't know.
I'm looking at Andy.
Our idea was to do tigers and are the Bengals in the Super Bowl, but I feel that's very limiting.
I don't know if it's as limiting as you think.
I think lion, tigers, and bears, oh my, is good.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're going to do movies with tigers or lions or bears or other.
And those are all football teams, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we can do a football team month.
There you go.
Well, it's not really football team
month. Whatever!
Because then you got to do like a Chiefs movie.
No.
You don't got it.
Never.
No. Never.
That's not an animal.
Get your racist eagle fucking chant that you do.
And do a movie about a...
Gross ass motherfuckers. Anyway.
A brown.
Do a brown
movie. A brown versus a bill.
A brown movie.
A bill.
I mean, am I wrong?
You're not. What's a raider?
Well, a raider, I guess that's a Viking. They're Vikings.
Like a pirate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or a pirate. Yeah, they raid. But a bill?
A packer?
A brown?
It's just a movie starring a bill.
What is that?
A brown? I love that.
Oh, did we pick a first movie to kick it off with yet?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that will be a surprise to all of us. At the end of every show, we say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Hi.
Patreon.com/NOTLP. If this interests you to have your name read by me in this voice.
Oh. Oh my.
So I'm going to start at the top here. Elise, thank you for your piak.
It's a good one.
I'll see you very soon.
Alyssa.
Let's all get together and watch Jim Abrams comedies.
Brandon and Emily. Jeffel, Dustin, Iona Goodwin.
What?
Iona, a great one. I hope you're nowhere near this tiny little radioactive spider monster creating thing. But anyway, Dr. Brian, Bill Chandler, Bill Farner, Blake, Blaine Yogurt, Jordash Jeans, Paul, Jeremy and Cassie, and Gamora. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. Ernie. Dave Siebert and Monica.
Thank you,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, everybody, good job.
Good job, y'all.
I guess I'm going to go figure out what to make for dinner.
Oh, my God.
Figure it out.
Figure yourselves out.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday to you,
guys. Happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Our birthdays are almost over.
Andy, it's almost your birthday. Andy, birthday happy.
Birthday!
Brown.
Brown.
If he should go to bed, when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of the Dead, and Igor made the nachos in a severed